Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This episode is brought to you by Kind. Kind makes delicious, healthy snacks using whole ingredients. We've got a special offer for you right now. Try 20 Kind snacks with their new snack pack. Enjoy 50% off and free shipping on your first snack pack when you subscribe to it through their Snack Club, Kind's monthly snack subscription service. Go to kindsnacks.com/wow for more details. That's kindsnacks.com/wow to learn more and subscribe.
I'm Jeff Kaplan, and you're listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 528 for July 6th. Right? Yeah, 2018. I'm checking all my dates here. This week was weird because we had a holiday here in America and it kind of jacked things up in the middle. And now I'm not sure where we are, what we're doing. But I'm Scott Johnson, joined by Patrick Beja from Finland. Hello.
Hey, yes, I am from Finland.
Yeah, Finland. How is it in Helsinki? What's going on? Are you guys all... Is it still snowing?
No, it's not snowing. It's not very warm. I'm not in Helsinki. I'm in the sticks.
Oh.
I'm in the countryside.
Right.
And it's okay. I mean, it's always incredibly beautiful around here, but it's been a little bit cold, so I feel cheated about my summer. Hopefully it will change.
Well, we have the opposite problem. It's super hot here, and I'm dying. Speaking of dying in the heat and also the humid heat, we have Garrett Weinzierl, as always. Hello, Garrett.
Yes, hello, from Strangletorn Vale.
Ah, yes, down there in America's
How are the crocodiles doing? The crocs, the alligators?
They're trying to eat little dogs, which concerns me as the owner of two of them.
Yeah. This reminds me. By the way, I've been trying to play through to completion and all the side content of Assassin's Creed Origins. I've been playing that game because I want to play Odyssey when it comes out, blah, blah, blah. So I've been playing that game. Do not.
Very curious how you're going to connect this to little dogs.
Well,
or maybe it's to alligators.
It's to alligators, actually. So
I was going to say, I think it's the crocodiles.
Yeah, here's what you don't do in public if you don't want a bunch of weird tweets and emails. I made the mistake of saying on some other show that I'm fighting a lot of alligators in these quests. And you wouldn't believe they are crocodiles. I know. And I know that. Oh. I knew that before. I just said alligators, kind of like, meh, whatever. I just threw it out there. Wasn't paying attention. Wasn't thinking about what I was doing.
Scott. You're on the internet. Don't you know?
Well, this is the problem. So I got people all up in arms that they think I don't know the difference between an alligator and a crocodile. I freaking do. I totally know the difference. I get it.
Okay, I'll confess something. I'm not sure what the difference is, except like one of them has a different nose or
the snouts, if you can call it that, are a lot pointier. And right. Kind of bony on the crocodiles.
Right.
They're also a lot more aggressive and want to kill you.
Yeah, they get real big. Well, alligators get pretty big too, but yes, crocs are like monster. They're monsters. They're monsters. And they are in the game. They fight me. I fight them. There's a lot of blood and it's real rough. So that was my whole point in it. I accidentally said alligators and I've been taking heat ever since. So. Anyway, I'll learn my lesson one of these days. Don't say anything on the internet.
Welcome to the internet, Scott.
Yeah.
Welcome to the internet.
It's amazing how you can get attacked for saying something barely wrong. But
were you attacked, though?
Well, not really attacked.
Did helpful people come to your intellectual rescue and kindly inform you of the difference between the two beasts?
It feels like an attack when 60 people do it at the same time.
Yeah. Yes.
That's true.
Yes. Imagine, okay. Imagine you slip and fall on the ice. One guy comes and helps you up. Oh, are you okay? Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. That's help. 60 people coming to help you get up off the ice feels like too much.
That's
the tragedy of the internet, right? Because the 56th person who comes around doesn't know that you've already been getting help for, you know, 15 hours and you've been like, yes, I'm fine. It's all right. Just enough. Thank you. And I'm like, oh, hey, I'll be kind and helpful, Scott.
Yeah.
Did you know alligators had a much pointier snout and were super, super angry at everything?
I have solved this by just introducing myself as Garrett the Idiot. So I just front load anyone taking in anything I say as, oh, he already doesn't know what he's saying.
Sure.
So
and that, but see, I figured that was built into the response about the crocodiles because people know I goof up words all the time. It's sometimes I just don't even care. I'll just say, what's his name? Oh, I don't know. Larry P. Von Dinkeldorf or whatever. I'll make up a name and they know this of me. I'm not out here for accuracy. I try. I do my best. But if I can't think of a thing, I'll just say whatever. So when they still come at me, I'm like, all right, you don't really know me very well. It just makes me feel like they, you know, they should know me better. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like when I'm talking about horde characters.
The onus is on them.
Yes, the onus is squarely on them. Well, the onus is on us to talk about World of Warcraft and all things Blizzard, which we're going to do here in a second. However, would like to mention pre-show here that if you hang around live chat room, those who are in there now listening live, at the end of the show, we're going to give away some Urel codes for your very own ownership of Urel in the game Heroes of the Storm. We got a bunch of these from that community team. Big thanks to them. Thanks to Garrett also for tracking them down. And we want to give them away. So hang around. We'll give a handful of those away at the end of the show. We actually meant to do it a couple of weeks ago. We got busy and forgot, and now they're still here. So Urel, or as some call her, Uriel, and a few call her Urel or something dumb like that. Just say Urel. It's fine. There, she's available for you if you are a lucky person, and you will win right after the show. We won't do it for all the people at home listening because that's boring for you. So we're going to do it when we're done with the podcast. You'll have an advantage because you're here live. So thank you for being here, and we'll give those away as soon as we're done with the show. Okay, that's it for that. Let's do this. I don't know if you guys have noticed, and I heard this from Patrick this week, or last week, or maybe it was this week when you were telling me that maybe the movie was going to interfere today, but you were talking about how you're getting that itch again, and you're not the only one. Everybody everywhere is starting to feel that WoW itch. If you took a little break here in the latter kind of weaning hours of Legion, or you didn't come for that expansion at all, I'm hearing from all types and all kinds saying, yeah, I don't know what it is, but I'm getting an itch to come back. There are a few who are like, I'm not excited about this expansion. Who cares about Horde and Alliance? Meh, lame, whatever. But mostly I'm hearing from people who want to get back. And we're only 4 weeks away, man. That's like nothing. It's like
5, I would say, but yes.
4.5. Right?
Well, yes, maybe 4.5. Anyway, you know, it leads me to wonder if 2 years isn't the right pace for expansions. We kept for the first, you know, 8 years, we were like, oh, we need an expansion a year. And, you know, they kept saying they would do one a year and they never did. But maybe one every 2 years is perfect for where we are now with the game.
Yeah, I think that is where we're at. And I don't think they should do it yearly because that's something that feels like too much. Yeah. I don't know why. Someone's going to have a good argument against this, so I'd love to hear them, but I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know why I'd
want a year. Some people are going to be playing, it's going to remain their main game, and they're going to be playing every day WoW, you know, only or in majority. And for them, it might be a little bit too slow. But I think a lot of us have come to a place where we play many, many different games. So we sort of jump into WoW, play nonstop for 2 months, and then a little bit less for the next 6 months, and then fall off a little bit. And as we play the many, many other excellent games that are available in the world. But yeah, I think for those who aren't doing that, it might be a little bit too slow. Garrett, do you still play like a reasonable amount of time every week?
Not every week, no. I'm just now kind of getting back on the horse as well. I've been talking about it on the last few episodes, but I was very slowly working on finally getting my Draenor flying because the Draenor was the longest break I ever took from this game. Yeah. And now that I have it, it's Altapalooza for me. I'm just leveling up everyone that is beneath the Draenor level.
Yeah. Well, it has a way of doing that, right? Like, suddenly you have it's not that you don't have no excuse, but you now have this, like, quick shot to get everything done. It's like playing Cataclysm all over again.
Yeah, it's like my second favorite time to play WoW. It's like right before an expansion, and I kind of you sit there and you make all your own goals. And my own goals right now are to just have a scattershot of max level heroes, because I can't decide who I want to start on. So I just want all the options in the world.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, there's lots going on as we lead up to the big day 4 weeks from now. What's the actual date? August
9th? August 14th.
14th. There it is. Is
that just sticky that at the top of every note we have from now until
we probably should do that. Isn't it that's a Tuesday, is it? Let's see. I want to know what that is.
August 14th is a Tuesday indeed. All and right. It's a worldwide simultaneous launch, so it's going to be available everywhere at the same time, I believe.
Yeah.
For the first time ever.
Usually in the middle of the damn night for me. Can't wait.
Yeah. That'll be good for you, all the Floridians.
Or actually, I think it's during the day now, isn't it? When is this going live?
Your state never sleeps. You're fine.
Can't remember what time, but I think I'm going to miss the midnight launches. This is a little bit of an old timer Patrick tale, but do you guys remember when we would go to the store to buy our copies and come back home?
I miss it like crazy. Like, this is a big thing for me, like in high school and college for different video games. It started with Halo, and I'm going to make you feel old because I was in high school and college when I was doing this stuff. But for World of Warcraft, it was like all my roommates, we all played. And so there was a bar right next to the game store we go to. So we would go and drink a bunch, and then we would walk over and wait in line for the midnight release of the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I think there was a.
Go ahead, Patrick.
There was a little bit of a different factor with WoW, though, because the servers would get turned on at midnight, right? And everyone would rush to log in at the same time, and it would be like this crazy party of a million players on the same spot trying to reach to click on the quest givers, and the servers crashing, and like sometime through that process they managed to get it working pretty well, and there were queues in the beginning. It was a little bit more communal, I think. I understand why it's not like this anymore, but kind of missed that feeling a little bit.
Yeah, I do too, but those were, you know, heady days, 06 to 08, where physical copies still were the way to do things, and I remember rushing out and doing it all the way up through. I'm trying to think, the first one that was pure digital for me may have been Mists. I think it may have been. And that was, you know, pretty late in the cycle. I may have done it. I may have gone full digital with Cataclysm. I don't remember, but
well, even before Mists, you would actually install the pre-patch, right? And then you would just get the box, open it, get the key, punch it in, and then log in. You wouldn't install anything at that
point. Yeah, which was kind of, I don't miss that, because there was a mental break on that for me. Because you would be
installing was super long and annoying.
That sucks, but also just the idea of putting a key in. And that's you went and bought a box so that you could get a key out of it. That's weird.
That was kind of dumb.
Yeah.
That's why you get the collector's editions and get that sweet art book.
There you go. That you're not getting this time. You know that, right?
Exactly. Well, I stopped buying the collector's editions once they went up to an obscene amount of money, and I just buy my art books off eBay.
Yeah. So.
But you can't, like, what's your collection going to be looking like? Wow, I have to buy every single collector, actually every Blizzard game, but I have to buy all of them. Like, my collection is going to be incomplete if I don't.
I just care about the books. The only collector's edition I care about is my Burning Crusade one, because it's the first one I ever got. The rest of them are just taking up space.
The only ones I care about are the ones that I've signed by people. Other than that, it's just you're right, it takes up space. I don't care that much.
Yeah.
So
I would probably care quite a bit about the vanilla one, but I do not have one, and they are impossible to find.
I got one. Can I say?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
I know you and Scott have them.
What, do you have some kind of weird...
I got one from Blizzard, from the offices.
Oh, big shot. Nice.
Like, when I got hired, I think a couple of years after, because I wasn't playing WoW when the game launched, and there were a couple hanging around, and I asked the people. I didn't just grab it and run.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, do you think I could, like, get one of the collector's editions? Like, and they were already pretty expensive and pretty difficult to find.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got one like that. So it's kind of I'm a fake collector. I just got it, like, but I don't care. I have it. It looks good.
I feel like if I told people what I have, it would put me at risk for someone trying to come and take it. So I'm not going to tell you what mine is. But I have, just say I have a vanilla collector's edition, unwrapped, so unused even. So I guess the code in there still.
Oh, wait, unwrapped or wrapped?
Wrapped.
Okay.
I said that wrong. I meant wrapped, meaning untouched, like unused, fully wrapped in its original plastic wrap. And then there's one other aspect of it that I can't say or else we'll get in trouble. But anyway,
there is a sealed vanilla on eBay right now for $3,000.
Really?
Jeez.
Are they sell? Do they end up cashing out at that, or is that just some idiot?
This is our best offer. Looks like there's a couple others for over $1,000. There's another one that's over $4,000.
Oh my gosh.
So, jeez.
If it's unwrapped, I wonder, or if it's wrapped, sorry, untouched, I wonder where that gets you now these days. I'm not saying I'd do it. I have a lot of reason why I would never do that, but anyway, there's that.
So okay, here's a fun question.
Go.
How much would it take? But you're being all coy and not revealing the other thing that makes it valuable.
Yeah.
But let's say it was just a regular vanilla collector edition and you couldn't get another one, obviously. How much would it take for you to sell it? Everyone has a price, right?
The extra thing is there's a vial of Mike Morheim's blood. No, I'm just kidding. There's none of that. It's,
I like the tavern that said Metzen drew a wiener on it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Oh my gosh. And it would have been like a total metal wiener, man. That guy, when he used to draw, it was like all like metal drawing and art and stuff. He was super.
I want to ask you what a metal wiener drawing looks like, but I'm not sure it's appropriate for the show.
Yeah, it'd be all spiky and like, you know, piercings and things, probably. Anyway.
So how much?
I'll bet it's. Based on what Garrett says, what he's seeing there, I'm guessing.
No. I'm asking how much you would sell. Your,
oh, what would like, I let it go for? I'd do it for 10. 10 grand.
For 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess 10. Yeah.
When you get into the double digits in the thousands, that's when I start to be like, yeah, you know what? I could use another car. Why not?
Yeah. I'm going to move this thing to a storage unit somewhere so it's not here anymore. Because now I'm nervous that it's here. Anyway, there's that. Hey, let's talk about this Duelers Guild thing, league, whatever it's called. What's it called? Duels? What is it? Duelers? I just wrote it down.
Duelers
Guild. League.
Like the Brawlers Guild, but Duelers Guild.
Okay, so I didn't. Was this known before? Did I somehow miss it, or was this brand
it's the first
new
time
news?
I heard about it.
Okay, so
this is the first time I've heard about it as well. But it's a new PvP system coming in Battle for Azeroth.
So, Patrick, you being the big PvP weirdo that you are, what's your...
Oh shit! Am I? I'm not. Well, but I can take it.
You used to be. I'm just curious what you think about it. Like, just generally speaking, it sounds boring to me. And so did the other one. The Brawlers Guild thing was boring to me. Now I'm not the guy to ask, and I fully admit it. I'm not your PvP guy in World of Warcraft. I never have been. I dally once in a while, dip in there, and go wee, and then I'm done. So I'm not the guy. But you've sometimes been the guy. You've been on PvP servers. You like that kind of conflict. So. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, they go through great pains to say this is for a very specific subset of our players' population. Mm. Like, it's not even for PvPers. It's specifically for people who like to duel. And the way this works is basically like the Brawlers Guild, which was a series of PvE solo encounters, which would get increasingly difficult, and you could do it basically for the cosmetics and the titles and stuff like that. There was no other, you know, there was no power items, anything to be gained with that. This is for dual PvP, so 1v1 PvP, which everyone knows is very much broken. Like, you can end up in situations where you have a fight that lasts 15 hours because the healer never stops getting mana and the DPS doesn't manage to kill them. Like, it can be absolutely broken, but some people really like 1v1 PvP. Some people, you know, go to specific places in the capitals and just duel, and that's what they do. So this is for those people, and you will get some cosmetic stuff and some titles. If you win like 3 duels in a row, it can be fun for those who enjoy this. And there's also the similar to the Brawlers Guild, you actually have the arena somewhere in the capital city and you see the people fighting, the people dueling. So there's like a spectator sport kind of thing going on. But again, I think it's for a very specific, dedicated type of PvP player, not even the entire PvP population, a part of that.
Okay.
So it's a small thing, but I think it's going to be fun.
So if a listener is sitting there listening to this right now and they say, man, I really enjoy once in a while in town challenging somebody to a one-on-one duel, and I've been doing that since vanilla. Wee, it's good times. Are they? This sounds this like this is for them, right?
Exactly.
Like this is a formalized version of that.
Like I think if you're a tabard collector or you're a title collector, like this has a new tabard, this has a new title, and it's just number of duels you win. So it is like eventually attainable. If you're good at dueling.
Yeah. And it feels like that's where it's broken, right? Because you're going to be, that's very character class specific, I think, in terms of domination.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why we loop back to is dueling something you enjoy?
Right. Right. Because I'll tell you right now, like, Frost Mages aren't going
to
win.
Exactly. It's like you're going to need to be the specific spec from the specific class that can manage to stun lock the opponent long enough to destroy them and to set up your specific combo. It's very peculiar.
Yeah, which is why it bums me out slightly, because that's what it will boil down to. Who can stun lock another character the longest?
Well, I'm not sure how this works as far as, like, can I go in and duel my friend intentionally? Because if it's friendly duels and not just, like, crazy try-hard.
No, it's random queues.
Oh, it's random queues.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then that is a problem.
Otherwise, you and I could just spend all day doing this and getting the achievements and getting the tabards and getting the stuff. And we, you know, none would be the wiser on Blizzard's part. But, yeah, they're trying to make it so that people have to try, I guess. I don't think
the reward you need to win 3 fights in a row.
Yeah.
And you don't get your cooldowns reset between the fights. So it's really a challenge. Like when you use your big, 5 minutes cooldown, you're going to have to be pretty sure that you need it in order to do anything.
So yeah.
There's some strategy to it. It could be interesting.
Yeah.
But if you actually pull that off, how badass are you going to feel, man? You're going to be just standing in the middle, unequipping your shirt, yelling, "Are you not entertained?" It's going to be great.
Well, that speaks to the spectator aspect of it. Like, that is actually interesting to me. If I found out, this is the part I don't know. Can I watch a friend in spectator mode fight his way through random queues? I don't, probably not.
Well, if he's on your server, then yes, you just go to the arena and you see who's fighting. Maybe there are some phases, I don't know, or some instances.
Well, that's what I wondered, if you got some instancing going on where you'd both need to be there, but... that's interesting to me. I'd like to watch somebody who's really good at this do what he does and, annihilate fools and all that.
For
that's
about
interesting 15 aspect.
Seconds, and then you'll go do a dungeon.
Sure. And then I'll log out. anyway, so that's that. It's a thing. It's probably not going to be my bag, but players are excited because it was before now not mentioned or announced in any PvP forums or discussions. So it seems like a late addition to the game. Something they're deciding to tack in there. Speaking of late additions to the game, not really. If you like Christy Golden and you read books, well then, by gum, you've probably read the new book and finished it already, or at least I know a lot of people have. There's been some talk in the chat room pre-show about this. Patrick, you finished the new book. Garrett's like 100 pages in. I have not cracked it yet. I've been too busy, but I plan to. I have it. I own it. I'm ready to go. But... what did you think? We're not going to spoil anything, people. No spoilers, but I want to know what Patrick thought of the overall
arc. I have
a
question for Patrick. I'm 100 pages in. Does it pick up? It is a slow burn so far.
Not really. Not really. I mean, there's a little bit more stuff that happens, but it does feel like the one thing that happens is stretched over a significant amount of pages. It's not uninteresting, but it's certainly not as engaging as Illidan's story was. And maybe it has to do with the characters, and Illidan is kind of, a fan favorite anyway. But I don't know. I read it I listened to it on Audible. And the Josh Keaton, who's the narrator, is really good. He does a great job doing the accents, doing it's very well read. But I would say it doesn't really become a super actiony thing. It's a little bit more
cerebral.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to spoil, but it didn't go to places I was hoping. Like, we don't get explanations for. It's kind of like a side thing almost, which has bearing on what happens afterwards. But what I will say, and I will be curious to hear, Garrett, what you think once you finished it. I felt like it was very one-sided, meaning you understand the motivations of the Alliance, of Anduin, even though he's kind of like a super boy scouty prince, king, still. but you understand where he's coming from. Sylvanas is kind of just... she's kind of just an ass, just for the sake of being an ass.
That's the vibe I've been getting, not just from the book, but from everything leading into Battle for Azeroth overall, and it's concerning me greatly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we had, for before or during the launch of the last expansion, right here, we had a very heated debate with everyone and with Dils and I, some might say even a little bit too heated debate about that. Who was right in the Broken Shores battle where, you know, the Horde left. And there was certainly ground to stand on both sides. Here, I'd be curious to hear what the Horde players think, but it feels really difficult to defend Sylvanas's choices. Not that she's doing some incredibly outrageous things yet, but it's kind of like you're being a douchebag just for the sake of it.
Right, that's what I do, because I've looked at the events of the Broken Shore, like when it first happened, as, oh, both sides are in the right here, this is just a misunderstanding. But now they're writing Sylvanas as this kind of megalomaniac, and it's very one note, and it seems to have come out of nowhere.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, maybe it's intended. Maybe, I don't know, you know. But if Garrosh was Orc Hitler, I think she is Forsaken Pol Pot or King Jong-un. Or like, it's even, she's this in, not in the same vein, but I guess in the same vein. She's
Forsaken Mussolini.
Yeah, basically, there you go. And well, Mussolini is a little bit more of a fail even, so I don't know, maybe she's going to succeed in being an incarnation of evil.
Yeah.
But it's so maybe the Horde players are going to have a different outlook on it, but reading it, trying to be neutral, I was like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to get behind Sylvanas in this one.
Yeah, I'm concerned, man. I'm excited for expansion. I'm excited to play it from a gameplay perspective, but one of the big things for me for Warcraft is the lore, right? And the, you know, the arcs that we send these characters through. And Garrosh was so well done. I mean, Garrosh was born within the MMO. He was not brought in through Warcraft 3 like most of the important arcs that we've seen play out in World of Warcraft,
right?
And it was so damn well executed, and here we are now with Sylvanas, one of my favorite characters ever. In a game where we get to play both factions, and Blizzard's thing has always been, no, Horde is nuanced. They're not just monsters, and they're writing them like monsters.
Yeah. Here's my thinking. I have a prediction. They're setting us up, and here's how it's going to go. We're all meant to believe that Sylvanas is just a monster, that she is just hell-bent on chaos, and that she is the villain of this expansion. I think they want us to believe that, and they want us to believe that right up until the end, because there will be some big turnaround moment where you're like, oh, that was her plan the entire time, and it saved the damn planet. Now, I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I'll bet that's where we're headed, because that's video games.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's possible, but I would be very surprised, because there is no, like, it's not even that there's no hint of this. It's that everything she does is kind of a spoiled, not child, but... I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but yeah. And the Horde is dysfunctional. No one likes each other. It's like Gallywix is off on his own doing some things that Gallywix does, but it's like she only sees what she can use in her allies, which I understand the Horde is a little bit more of a patchwork of races, but I don't know. It's a bit weird. It's like, it's difficult to find love for the Horde, I think, in these narratives. And when you're a Horde player, I think you're going to feel a little bit lost if you read this book.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe some Horde listeners who have read it can send their emails and tell us what they think. Maybe I'm off base here because I am an Alliance player, but I'd be curious to hear from Horde players.
Yeah. I'm just saying, to satisfy the need of video games, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying it's a grand plan of hers. I'm just saying at some point there's a turnaround. Call it a redemption. Call it whatever you want. She's going to have her own little moment where it'll be like, oh shit, what have I done? And then things will get fixed and then we're playing a video game again. Like, that's how it's going to go. Yeah. It's a video game and it has to serve those ends. And they have half, maybe more than half their player base who are very invested in the Horde side. If that's true, they can't just throw them under the bus like that. So I just don't feel like we're getting this long-term, oh no, she's nothing but a two-dimensional, you know, villain. I just don't think it's going to happen. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Chat room disagrees with me pretty vehemently, but we'll see.
I think when you start reading it, you're going to have a hard time imagining this actually taking place.
Yeah, which is what they want us to think, right? Ah, see?
Yeah, no, but there's no path to that. That doesn't seem artificial, because they're kind of backing her into a corner. Anyway, we'll talk about it.
But are we saying that she's poorly written? And I'm not trying to throw Christy under the bus. We love her, but
I wouldn't say she's poorly written. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't even think it's necessarily, I don't think Christy is making the end all be all decision with the direction that they're taking. Mm. I mean, like I said, I was kind of concerned with this when we first saw that concept art of Teldrassil burning. Back in BlizzCon before they even announced the book. So I was like, oh, there's got to be something more to this, right? So I'm hoping there's a little more to it. But the writing of Sylvanas overall, it seems very one note.
All right.
It's not that she's badly written. It's that the path they're taking her on is that path. You know, it's not about the writing quite specifically. It's just the storyline. So,
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, it to me, it feels very Garrosh-esque, and I'm like, well, we just did this. We just had the Horde's leader as the villain. You know, why are we retreading this path so soon?
And as you put it, Garrett, it's pretty easy. I mean, Garrosh, having come from the game and not from any other outside source, and being sort of cobbled together within the game's realm, that it makes him a little more disposable, right? Like, you can have his arc, it can be impactful, but he can go away and you're not too upset about it, because you're like, well, that was a mistake in terms of him being leader, and Thrall has regrets and blah 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 blah.
And that's interesting for you know, the world building.
It totally is. But when you take Sylvanas has this really long arc in this game. She is not just somebody who popped up out of nowhere and yelled for the Horde and we all got excited. Like, she's got some meat to her, and to mistreat that meat is what we're saying is dangerous. And that's why this is why I'm having this opinion. I just don't see them doing that to her. And if they do, it'll be really disappointing. So I'm having this weird, like, overly optimistic view of what's going on there. Having not read it yet, I don't want them to screw her up. So I keep having faith they won't. I don't know. I hope that's not misplaced faith. So we'll see.
Yeah, I haven't finished the book yet, so we'll revisit this, I guess, when I do. But I'm hoping for nuance, and so far I'm not finding any.
Yeah, new, not old aunts. You want nuance? I got it. Get you.
Yes.
No problem. So, hey, want to know more about World of Warcraft? They made a little mini documentary. They explain the entire history of World of Warcraft in this thing. In fact, it starts off with our good buddy. Yep, you hear him.
Game director on World of Warcraft. Hi, my name is Patrick Magruder.
Hi, my name is Jimito.
I'm the lead gameplay engineer on the World of Warcraft team.
And I am the visual development supervisor.
And we are here to take you through the history of World of Warcraft.
50 minutes, 45 seconds long. It's almost an hour long.
Watch the whole thing on Saturday.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Not Saturday. Yeah. No, I'm so confused because 4th of July. I've watched it 4th of July morning. I just laid in bed and watched this thing. Yeah. It's wonderful.
It's a wired joint. Cool. Yeah, it seems cool. That they did this. It's not like an official Blizzard documentary necessarily, but it's a thing they did with Wired, and it's good. I really liked what I saw. I haven't been able to watch the entire thing about 45 minutes in, and then I had to do the show this morning. But I like this. Whenever they do this stuff, it's great. You know, bring it on. Show us more. Tell us more about the history of things. It feels like Ian's the biggest nerd ever. I love it.
Yeah, it's really a it's a kind of a trip down memory lane. We were talking about you know, queuing, going to queue to get your collector's edition and everything. They go through every expansion and talk about what technical challenges they had and the place they were at in the game back then. And Hezekostas talks about how he went from being a player to being part of the team and his evolving role in the team, a bunch of stuff. It's like, if you've been playing since the beginning, I would highly recommend you go watch that video. It's going to be a 50 hours of 50 minutes of great fun.
Yeah, it's real good. Highly recommend it, and I can't wait to finish the last 15 when we're done here. All right, we're going to do a couple of emails that are appropriate to World of Warcraft before we get to what else is happening in the world of Blizzard. We're going to rip through some of these, and they all kind of deal with where people's heads are at with the game right now before they get a new expansion. For example, Andy Johnson wrote in. He says this regarding allied races. He has questions and thoughts. Longtime listener of the show from foggy old London town. Love what you guys do. It helps me get through my early commutes and late nights in the gym. The biggest wish from the community at the moment seems to be more allied races along with more customization for their tunes. Do you think there will be a day when allied races will be purchasable on the store rather than as obtainable through the game? Personally, I don't think, or it doesn't sound like a very Blizzard thing to do, but they are a company, and I would wager that a large proportion of the player base give their money to a store for a chance to play as a Volpura or High Elf, etc. So what do you guys think? You'd like to hear our thoughts.
Yeah, man, give me every other version of Forsaken, the other races in this game, and my money is yours, Blizzard.
So hold on now. Garrett would go to a store, an online store, Blizzard store, and say,
yes, I would go all the way to my keyboard.
you would sit right where you're sitting now, and you would press yes and okay and confirm and pay real dollar money for an undead race or whatever.
Well, I mean, much like your collector's edition, there is a price that is too high.
Yeah.
What would you pay then? Is it a reasonable amount?
What would you pay? What is that amount?
I would say if you keep it under 30, and I'll consider it.
Okay.
Keep it under 20, and I'll just buy all of them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
For an allied race?
Yeah. $20, yeah. Patrick. Wow. $20.
Considering what they charge for like race changes and stuff like that, I assume it will be a little higher than I would like to spend.
I don't know how
all of the current services in the game are higher than I would like to spend.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. I would have said, you know, $10. But yeah, I guess if I say 10, they're probably going to make it 20. And sorry, what was the name of the,
Andy?
Of the person, the emailer. Oh, Andy Johnson.
Yeah, Andy Johnson.
So I can't remember. Right. He said, personally, it doesn't sound like a very Blizzard thing to do. Oh, how cute.
That sounds extremely like a Blizzard thing.
Yes.
Like they have Blizzard. A store. I mean, you can buy mounts right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, you can buy pets.
You can buy mounts. You can buy pets. You have to pay to change servers. You have to pay to change appearances. I mean,
you can go buy a Necromancer for Diablo 3. And every time that you mention that, the ground rumbles a little from the internet rage.
Yeah. No, that's true. I can feel it now mentioning it. Just you referring to it causes it a little bit. Yeah.
Not only does it very much sound like a Blizzard thing to do, but it also sounds like something they are going to do. I never thought about it. How did I? But you're a genius, Andy. I think they are going to do. Well, I don't think, but I think it wouldn't surprise me at all if they did. It would seem absolutely, absolutely like an easy win for them.
Well, let's look at the
especially if they provide a ton of them for free. And they're like, well, you know, you can have a lot of them for free anyway, but if you want this one, you can pay.
Here's what we should be doing. We should be comparing current prices to things. So if you want a premium mount, you're going to pay $25. If you want a pet who does nothing, just stands next to you, and you can fight with him.
It's a battle pet.
Yeah, but yes, you're right. He's a battle pet. Those are 10, right? 25 for a mount that you put away most of the time and only are on for part of the game. If you are full-time in a dude, what you paid for, I'll bet they charge you more than 25. I'll bet these are like $50. That's
what?
Yeah.
No. $50.
I think $30, maybe like 35, and it includes a race change. That'd be kind of rad.
How much is that in Finnish Google Jinx or whatever the, what's your currency? What's it called?
Euros.
I forgot. But yeah, Finland's part of the European Union. All right, so I don't know what that is in those dollars or that your space money, but that seems. I mean, I'll tell you what I would not pay over. 25 is my limit. More than that, you lost me. Not interested. But I just feel like a thing that you are constantly all of the time, that's going to cost you more than a thing you pull out to ride somewhere and then get off of it. Just saying. We'll see. I don't know if that's how they'll look at it. They may not look at it that way. They may not look at it and go, "Oh, well, a mount's only a temporary thing you're sitting on just once in a while." They may not even look at it that way. But I just feel like they're going to charge more if they do this. And Andy may be right. Maybe they're on their way to doing it. I don't know. It kind of depends. I think this expansion will tell us, like, how much people really get into the allied races that are in the game now, or that will be in the game, will determine a lot about what the future of that looks like. So we'll see. Hopefully it's reasonable. Ugh, everything about that scares me. All right. An email from Raven says, regarding that free WoW weekend, after hearing about the WoW free weekend on the show, I thought I would not jump back in and give it a shot. I think he meant why not. Yeah, he said why not. Maybe run a dungeon or two for old time's sakes. What I realized is that I couldn't. I've been out of things since Warlords, and upon logging in, it hit me that not only do I no longer know how my rotation works. He's a blood DK. But none of my UI is anywhere near usable. To even start, I need at least an hour of add-ons or UI toggling to get my buttons up and time to look up what this character does now. Maybe new players can start at one with all the basics and work their way up, but a returning player, I'm afraid, has this barrier to entry and it may be too high. Love the show, Raven. Okay, I've been giving this a ton of thought because I recently, in recent months, logged into an old monk I hadn't touched forever, and how I knew how old that monk was is because his clothes were blurry. And that means that he didn't have any, he had some really old low-res gear on. This is the first thing I go in, and it's my monk standing there in just blurry clothes. It looked like he was wearing an N64 texture. It was awful. And I went, ooh, got to get those changed out as soon as I could. I logged in, and I got away from using button mods. I know some people are just dead set on never not using button mods, but I wanted to get to a place with you know, as they've done ability trimming and pruning and stuff, it's been more and more possible to use the default UI when it comes to button management than ever. So I prefer doing that when I can. Not to say y'all out there with your 1,000 button mods, go for it. Do what you got to do. But it's not my thing anymore. So I didn't really have that to deal with. But abilities he used to have, he doesn't have anymore. Stuff I used to use isn't relevant anymore or whatever. And so the button, even the default UI, is full of stuff that just makes no sense. There's weird rotation stuff. I don't know what 2, 3, and 4 are doing there. They shouldn't be there anymore. Like, it is daunting. Even made worse if you're using mods, because you go in there, it's just a giant mess. I agree with this 100%. I don't know how Blizzard deals with this, but returning players have a serious barrier. And it's normal for you to come to an old game you haven't played in a long time, any kind of old game, and go, oh, what does this do? I have to, what? Wait, what? Trigger what? You know, like, even console games. It's just a pain in the ass to get back up to speed. They could do something to make that easier. I don't know what it is. I don't know how they should do it, but I just feel like that would be easier. Because when I got in and started playing that monk, you know what I felt like doing, Patrick? I felt like firing up a level 1 monk and starting over. Because it was just like, then I'll learn him that
they
way.
They do a little bit. It's really difficult it's a difficult problem to deal with, because if you reset everything, then people might be angry. I mean, you could give the option. The way they deal with it is that when you use a boost, character boost, they give you the option to clean things up. And that doesn't clean your add-ons, obviously, but it does clean all of your inventory bags, your quests. They remove everything and give you like a starter pack for gear and stuff like that. So they handle it a little bit, not very much, but you know, there's some of this going. I guess they could do something similar for the UI that could be helpful.
Yeah. I mean, what we're asking.
I mean, add-ons, that's just an issue that's going to come with it, right? I mean, that's kind of on us as the player. Like, if we're using add-ons, that's just going to be an issue we're going to have to deal with.
Right.
But I'm assuming if you used add-ons in the past, you're probably more than capable of sorting through this relatively quickly.
Yeah. I mean, just to give it an example of something I had to do recently, I didn't have to, but I decided to fire up Guild Wars 2 to see what they were doing in there. And I had been given a code for the two recent expansions, and I thought, well, there's no excuse. I should go check it out. So same deal. I log into some characters that I haven't touched in 2 years, and I go, I don't know what he does. What is this? What is this thing? I don't understand these things. And a lot has changed. So not only do I not remember the basic systems then, but the game's gone through a ton of iterations like MMOs do over time. So I felt kind of lost. And so what I did instead is started a brand new character, learned them up to level 5, and then used one of their boosts to level 50 or whatever they're doing over there, and then I was good. Now I've set it down, and who knows when I'll touch it again, and when I come back, I'll be confused yet again. But the point is that this is not a WoW problem. This is a video game problem, and it's kind of across the board. So it's, unless it's something you're constantly playing, with the exception of my main, like I feel like no matter what happens to my hunter or what they do to him, I'd be able to. It's just so much muscle memory with him. I'd just pick him up and play him. It wouldn't be that big a deal. But for more obscure stuff, if you haven't been in for a while, like a DK, the Death Knights have gone through some stuff, man. They have seen some shit in the last few years.
Just this expansion, they've gone through some stuff. I mean, Frost has changed drastically.
Yeah.
Like 3 times off the top of my head.
Yeah. It's huge. That's huge, right? Like changes the whole sphere of your place. You know, as soon as you log in, you're not even in the same realm anymore, really.
Yeah. Yeah, personally, it made me stop playing my Death Knight, but that's kind of on a class-by-class, spec-by-spec basis, and
right.
Also personal taste, right? But sure. Yeah, I mean, to boil it back down and bring it back around to, I think, a simpler answer is I'm with you, Scott. I think you can play without button mods. Most classes now have been trimmed down enough where if you've got those two rows at the bottom, you can set up your hotkeys and have it work.
Yep. Make it work, baby. Work it is what we're saying. All right.
What I don't want is a Clippy. I don't want to get into the game and it'd be like, it looks like you haven't logged in a while. Would you like a tutorial?
Yeah, very well said. Yeah, you don't want that, do you? I don't know.
I don't know. You might.
Would you? Do you really?
Well
think
done. You know, a zone you go through to get you used to how the character works. I think it might be potentially worth investigating. If it's well done, not too long, and you have the option not to do it.
This is true. Well, all right then.
But then they would have to redo it every time they change anything, basically, and they change stuff all the time. So they probably are not going to do that.
That probably is true.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick moment here to talk about our friends over at Kind. Hey, Instance listeners, you ever tried a Kind bar? You might have seen them in your local grocery store, coffee shop, or gym. They make delicious, healthy snacks using whole ingredients. And if you haven't tried them, you really should. They're tasty and healthy. And we have a special deal for you. Try 20 Kind snacks from their 7 unique product lines with their snack pack. Enjoy 50% off and free shipping on your first snack pack when you subscribe to it through the Snack Club. This is Kind's monthly snack subscription service, which you can find at kindsnacks.com/wow and get more details. It's the perfect mix of favorites from all your daily snacking needs, or stacking. You stack and snack. Like to start your day with whole grains? Try the oats and honey with toasted coconut granola clusters. Need to snack healthy while on the go? How about the dark chocolate nuts and sea salt bar? My favorite. Looking for plant-based protein? Take a bite of the crunchy peanut butter protein bar. Also really good. Plus, all of Kind snacks are crafted with delicious, wholesome ingredients like nuts, fruits, whole grains to keep your body and your taste buds happy. Visit kindsnacks.com/wow to learn more and subscribe to the snack pack. That's kindsnacks.com/wow. We thank them for sponsoring the show today. All right, let's dive into this. All right, we like to every week look at what else is happening around Blizzard and things that aren't necessarily tied to World of Warcraft, and we're going to do that right now. For example, Heroes of the Storm, they must love me and personally want to give me great things.
It's more than that, Scott. I think they have someone who was sent some kind of mutant mind reader, who was sent close to your home to observe your thoughts and in order to report back to Blizzard for them to deliver the things that will make you the happiest possible.
I think
it's
you're right.
Kind of amazing.
I think you're right. They've launched this Wasteland Mad Max inspired patch that's coming up next week, full of skins and mounts that are just awesome. The music they play during that trailer is incredible. It's like they're speaking to me directly, and I don't know who to thank. It's my birthday in a week and a half, and this feels like an early birthday present for me. I love it, I love it, I love it. Just put it right into my veins, as I said on Twitter. I'm curious if you guys have any thoughts about the, what's it called? I even forgot the name of it. War Chrome patch. It's insane. What do you think?
I need that Nazebo skin now.
He's riding around on a big spinny blade. He's got like where his cool ornate headdress thing usually is. They're coming out like exhaust pipes. It's an insane skin. The Asmodan alone, when he goes into mount mode, normally his feet just catch on fire or whatever in his kind of default skin. And this thing, he creates like this like tank tracks and just flying across the desert, dude. That Rainer skin is incredible. A Road Warrior Rainer, they call it. He's got a mount that's basically some kind of crazy horse motorcycle thing with a horse skull on the front, and there's like a rotating Gatling gun sticking out of the mouth of his horse face. It's incredible. So all I want to do is watch Mad Max and spend time playing that game.
just have it on in the background.
I'm so excited. It's just such a cool, like, oh my gosh. I'm not trying to freak out too much, but the more of this, the better. It also, we have this theory on Core that they're going to have these kinds of weird alternate reality sub realms inside the Nexus. And that, like, what they call it, Stormwind, which is like Stormwind from Warcraft, but it's full of like giant robots and stuff. That's already a thing they've done with the mecha patch and those mecha skins. This thing could be some kind of wasteland version of the Nexus. They're going places with that lore, so it's possible they could do something really cool with that. I am so for this. I'm so all about this. Oh, so excited. Anyway, I need a cigarette. What's going on now? I don't smoke. What's going on in Hearthstone? Anything going on in there that we should talk about?
In the game itself, nothing really new, but we're getting our first teaser of an announcement of an announcement.
Oh, that's all right. Then a little animated GIF.
Let's see, how many days from now? This upcoming Thursday, they're saying save the date, and it's like an orc hand holding some type of fruit with Hearthstone in the center of it.
An orc hand holding some fruit?
Yeah, I can't tell if it's an apple or a peach, but I'm going to go with the Shatrath Fruit Vendor expansion. Crow Threadstrong is going to be taking us through the next Hearthstone expansion as he threatens the fruit vendor that has left the cart outside of his place of business.
Oh my gosh, I've never been so excited about Hearthstone in my life. That's fantastic. All right.
I have no idea what it is, man. If you look at the teaser image that they put at the beginning of the standard year, where they like that they have the, it showed the, you know, the three like teasers for the three expansions. This one has like an ethereal gateway.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of assuming it has something to do with Outland and ethereals, maybe even Netherstorm. But we also thought that the vines for the first one was something like Emerald Dreamy and Druidy, and it turned out to be Witchwood, which is something we couldn't guess because we didn't know it existed. So this could be anything.
Who knows? Yeah, you never know. So, all right, that's interesting. I want to see what that is. Maybe it's Stranglethorn Vale related. They haven't done anything in there, have they, before?
I don't know why it would be a pink ethereal gate if it's Stranglethorn Vale.
I don't either. You know what it is? I'm fixating on the fruit. I assume there's a lot of fruit in Stranglethorn.
Yeah, that just confuses me. I really don't know. I don't understand. Like, what does a fruit and an ethereal vendor have to do with
maybe
with
it's
anything?
It's a Handmaid's Tale crossover, Patrick. What do they say on there? Blessed be the fruit. That's what's going on.
Someone on Twitter, because I made that joke. Someone on Twitter is like, hey, there's a lot of ethereal vendors. What if it's a vendor expansion?
Oh, that's terrible.
All your cars are like general goods vendor and mailbox.
I don't like it. Now I hate it, now that you've said it that way.
Oh, you liked the Handmaid's Tale reference, but the vendors is too far from you.
I'll just say this is a very unrelated thing, but Handmaid's Tale season 2 has further solidified that I think that is the best drama currently on TV. It's really good, you guys.
Oh, it is. It's harsh though.
It's harsh. It don't get me wrong. You don't want to go in there lightly, but it's awesome. Really good.
And
show.
You know, well, maybe I'm not going to.
Okay, you don't have to. Keep it to yourself.
No, I was going to say something, but then I'm not going to.
Okay. Leave him wondering. Always have him wanting more. That's what I say. Hey, Overwatch. All right, Patrick, tell me about the damn hamster in a ball. What's going on with that? Why is everyone freaking out?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Everyone's scratching their head. Okay. First of all, a quick refresher for Overwatch. You know what Winston is, right?
Yeah, he's an ape.
Yeah, but where does he come from?
Oh, he's from the moon base where they trained animals to be sentient, smart people, creatures.
Exactly. So already in that world, you have apes that come from the moon and that are intelligent and can do science and speak. Yeah. So that's already part of the world. And people are very much accepting of this. That was brought in pretty well. They were experimenting on other animals on the moon, including apparently a hamster who, when the uprising of apes happened on the moon, kind of hitched a ride with Winston by attaching an escape pod to his vessel returning to Earth.
Yeah.
And so he is a sentient, intelligent hamster who, as Jeff Kaplan put it, doesn't speak, because obviously that would be just silly. But he's a scientist hamster who constructs mechs to fight in. And the new character that has just been added to the roster on PTR is one of those mechs that has the hamster in it. It's called Wrecking Ball, and it is wild. Like, it's super weird as a character. It's literally a mech that turns into a ball, and the ball can roll around, and it has a grappling hook, and you can grapple to stuff and spin around in the ball, like take height if you go fast enough and slam down on the ground. It's a tank character, and the character himself is really fun to play, super weird. The hamster that is inside the Wrecking Ball character, some people have been saying that is too far. Actually, Blizzard is on record saying they had a concept for Jetpack Cat. And everyone was like, yeah, Jetpack Cat. That would be a cool character, right? We're going to get Jetpack Cat at some point.
Right.
And Blizzard was like, well, we thought it was maybe a little bit too much out there. And out they come with this.
I need that. I want Jetpack Cat. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's not even cool.
Freaking.
You don't want the hamster, but you want the cat.
Yeah.
No, I want the hamster too. Hammond is the most excited I have been to get back into Overwatch. Like, legitimately, nice. This is not me making fun. This is not me being an ass. Like, I'm like, they went full anime. Like, yeah. Finally, they're just leaning into it. They're screw it, we're a game that's anime as shit.
Yeah.
And they're doing it, and I love it.
This is, was going to be what I was going
to
say.
I like it, too. Yeah. I was trying to portray the opinion that seems to be prevalent on the internet. I think there are two kinds of people. There are the people who stopped playing Overwatch or who never did, were like, what? Yeah. Okay, that's just dumb. And the people who are still playing who are like, yeah, Hammond the hamster in a giant wrecking ball. Why not? Yeah. So I'm part of that second group.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see how well he's integrated. But
We'll see. He's on the PTR now, so you can get in there and fiddle with it if you want. But who knows? By the way,
I'm glad you're excited, Garrett.
I am over the hamster moon.
That's great. I am too. I'm very excited about it. I'm shocked by it, but not in a bad way. I just went, oh, they're going here, are they? All right.
It's definitely weird.
Let's just
shot. Was some speculation about Hammond, and with the hints they sprinkled around the maps and the teasers and everything, and everyone thought it was going to be either another gorilla like Winston or some kind of chimpanzee or something like that. And then they revealed it was a freaking hamster. Well, obviously the name Hammond the Hamster, it would have been, you know, it should have been a hint. But everyone was like, wait, what?
If this had been, look, here's how here's the deal. If this had been a chimpanzee inside of a wrecking ball and that was the story, I don't think you'd have the blowback. I think everybody would be okay with
it. No, no. People would have been fine with it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of dumb to say, but I can see why a hamster. But you know, the hamster, he's also like super chubby and he does what hamsters do. He's like, it's super cute.
One more time,
that's
Patrick.
That's my impression of a hamster.
That was really nice. Good.
You can go back and capture it.
Yeah, you guys.
This is to me, like, this has been worth it for the fan art alone. The fan art coming out of the Hammond announcement is just filling my heart with joy.
It's pretty great. Yeah. And I'm what I want in a shooter is unique new ways of playing the game, and they've accomplished that through a weird character. Like I don't ever want Overwatch to go, we need somebody serious like Soldier 76 again. Let's get Soldier 85 in here. Like, that's boring. That's lame. Go to your other shooters for that. This game is about whimsical, weird, crazy sort of stuff that creates mechanical opportunities you don't have in other games like this. This is a totally unique idea. I love it. Bring it.
I agree. I mean, they could go too far, and arguably a hamster could be too far, but the character, if we want to talk about gameplay for a second, it is super original. Like, you can literally attach your grappling hook to the payload and spin around on the payload endlessly, knocking people off of it. It's and you can switch from bow mode to mech mode instantly. There is no cooldown. It's like, it is really a weird, different kind of gameplay that they're introducing. It feels the same kind of role as Winston and D.Va. They're like bruiser type tanks that go and disrupt everything, but it's a very interesting mechanically. It's just that it's a hamster.
Yeah.
And why not?
Yeah, why not?
I've been on the record saying I thought the penguin in what game was it? Paladins. I can't remember if it was Paladins or the Gears the Gearbox game. That tanked.
Right. Well, Paladins is such a ripoff of Overwatch anyway.
Well, it wasn't. It was the other one. Anyway, the penguin I thought was done without finesse. It was like, oh, it's a cute penguin, but he's super vicious. Yeah. So that's the funny bit. And it wasn't. It was like, yeah, okay, I see what you're going for.
Right.
This doesn't seem like it's that. It's a cute hamster that is a cute hamster in a giant mech, but it fits somehow, the things he does, the way he behaves. I don't know. It seems like it's going to work.
Well, so somebody on the... I'm looking at some comments on the Kotaku post for this, and somebody proposes that we now have a new phrase to replace jumping the shark. It should be called rolling in the hamster. So there you go.
I can see how you would think that.
Sure.
But, like, put a picture up on the feed of Hammond the Hamster.
Sure. I can do
that. How can you not love this thing?
No, it's impossible not to love him. He's cute. He's adorable. He's in a badass mech. And
he's got the full force of the Blizzard Overwatch animators who are masters at this craft. And when you see him moving around, and you're going to love him, I'm sure.
Right. I could have gone for a chimpanzee. I'm just saying. I'm not saying
yeah,
this is any worse.
You have Winston, not that he's a chimpanzee.
No, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe we didn't need another monkey in the game. Ape, simian, whatever you want to call him.
Poo-flinging hairy humans. Yeah, get rid of them.
There you go. Get rid of the poo-flinging hairy humans.
So listen, Scott, alligators and crocodiles are not the same thing, I'll have you know.
Oh, okay. Now this all makes sense. It's all come together. By the way, what do you call it? Poo-flinging hairy humans. Poo-flinging hairy humans. I played bass for them for 3 years in the 90s. They were great.
I like their side band, the Hosen.
That's right. They're still touring.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. All right. Well, that's that.
That's the race you're going to be able to pay for, too.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
Will not be getting a cent from me.
I'm buying a Hosen the second they go on sale. I will have one. You're crazy. They're awesome. They're the best. Hosen all the way. What are you going to buy? What's the first race you want to buy? name?
Just variants of the Forsaken, man. I want to look like Nathanos? I've never said his name out loud before. Or just like Sylvanas, man. Give me undead high elves and undead like humans that don't have all the bones showing.
Who's the one that says, "You think we had forgotten"?
Oh, that's Petricide. I mean, he's just a normal Forsaken model.
Oh, I kind of like him.
"You think we had forgiven. Yes, to the living."
He's awesome. Are you kidding? He needs to be in Heroes of the Storm. That's what I'm saying. Get an undead in there.
Yeah, an undead warlock would be so much cooler than Gul'dan. Sorry.
I agree. Although that guy eats my lunch. I freaking hate him right now. Anyway, all right. Well, there's that. Let's do this real quick. Got one more of these.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Technically, we've been doing emails all day today, but we got one more to read. And this came to us to theinstance@gmail.com. You're encouraged to use that address. Send us your thoughts. Keep them short and interesting. We'll play them on the show. This was not so much short, but it is interesting, and I wanted to make sure to read it. Mike wrote in and says, "Hello all. First off, I'm thrilled to report I'm going to be attending BlizzCon this year for my first time and look forward to seeing you all on the various crews." He's got an overall Blizzard question for us. As I played my free arena deck in Hearthstone and looked blankly at the word "rush" on one of the cards, I realized how long it's been since I played Hearthstone. I tried to come back a few times, but I just don't have the time to craft current decks, and I'm not invested in the game enough emotionally to buy a bunch of cards and craft hobbled versions of whatever the current decks are in the game. But then I realized, after I got my ass handed to me in a ranked game, that this same thing was happening to me in Heroes of the Storm. I loved my core group of characters, but haven't been able to buy any of the newer heroes, so I found myself not having as much fun in that game either. Then I roll over to Overwatch on my PS4 and see that even though I have been playing for a while, I still won't be playing ranked anytime soon. I'm only at level 21, and I find my interest waning because I just feel so left behind or left out. Don't even get me started with World of Warcraft. I haven't even finished Draenor, tried to play Legion, and just didn't have the time, and now I feel completely left out of the buzz for Battle of Azeroth. So here I am, a returning player, a longtime Blizzard fan, and I don't feel like there's really a place for me in most of the current Blizzard games. There are too many cards to get, too many heroes to learn, too many levels to gain, etc., to really feel like I'm with the rest of the community. I can only imagine how impossible it must feel for totally new players to enjoy Blizzard's hard work. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I should just be happy with my monthly dips into Hearthstone or grazing the bottle of ranked play in Heroes, and just that's what I can do for now. But I wonder if new players just look at all of this and just walk away. What do you think? Do you think Blizzard is doing enough with its current games to engage totally new players? Thanks so much, says Mike. Well, Mike, I don't know what the answer to this is. He's not playing, so he's not caught up. And I'm not saying that's bad. It's just I don't know what Blizzard can do, because at some point it's you're either playing a game or you're not. I mean, Diablo is the thing you could pick right up, right?
I would say all of them.
Yeah.
I think Hearthstone is the only one where you can feel left out, because you have to craft a new deck when the expansion comes out if you want to be current. I mean,
well, if you want to play ranked, you could just play arena.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess. Yeah, you could go arena, but then you have to pay or, do the quests and get some gold too. I think all of the other games, you're overthinking it, because just in Overwatch, just pick one or two characters and try to do what you do. You don't have to, compete super immediately. In WoW, just pick up solo at the new expansion, because you're going to get back in, I'm guessing, if you play an expansion. You get a boost. So boost your character to the current level and start with everyone else. Even in Heroes, you have access to a number of characters. You have the free-to-play rotation. Just get a character and get in. Don't overthinking. Don't think like, oh my god, I'm so behind, I don't understand what's happening with this and that. It seems to me like those traumas are self-imposed a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah, I think you have to set your own goals. And it's going to be different for everybody. But to maybe, I don't know, dig a little deeper into it. I think it's easy. Obviously, you're listening to The Instance. You probably read fan sites. You probably listen to other podcasts. I think it's very easy if you're tapped into the community while not actively playing that it can almost feel alienating in a certain way if you're not on the up and up. But I would try and flip that reaction on its head. I think what we're trying to do here is be inclusive and share our excitement for these properties with the audience.
Right.
So just because you know, maybe we know more or the people that you're randomly getting the games with, know more, it shouldn't be, I don't know. I don't think you should look at it as a negative. I think you should look at it as an exciting, thing to build towards, to work towards, to getting to that level of,
He's feeling behind. He's feeling like everyone's ahead of him, and I get that. I have that feeling sometimes. Certainly, I feel that way with Hearthstone all the time, and I think that
Hearthstone's I think the worst defender for sure. And I can understand that.
Yeah,
you know, I'd say start with the game. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. What you know, the people you listen to on The Instance who happen to be doing this for a living and who play a bunch of games all the time are doing. Don't worry about that. The love for the game and the engagement in the community come from the game. You know, find the game you love, play it however much you want, and naturally you'll start going to, you know, websites to see strategies or decks or whatever. Don't start with that. Go there when you end up being interested in those aspects. But initially, play the game only and see where it gets you. So don't put the community cart before the game. Cow, beef, horse, there you go, before the horse.
All right, cow before the horse, that's the one. Never put your cow before the horse.
Yeah. You know you shouldn't do that. I mean, honestly,
cart before the horse is what you're saying. Okay, yes.
Yeah,
so yeah, what you're saying I completely agree with. The example I'm going to use is hop into Overwatch, grab a character, and just start playing. Don't worry about that number. You'll be matched up with people with similar numbers anyway, so it won't matter. If you're with friends, you'll have just as much fun with them, and they're not going to constantly go, dude, your number is so low compared to mine. And if they do that, then they're not very good friends anyway. Like, this is the world of progression. What he's really actually talking about is progression systems in video games can have the effect of, at least on a mental level, have you look back and go, oh, everyone's ahead of me. Or I haven't kept up.
It's not just progression.
Whatever.
It's like the overabundance of content available that gets him a little bit his head spinning.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like with something like Hearthstone, just read a wiki. It's great. Like, Google's your friend. If you don't know what Rush does, or even, this is something I never recommend because I don't particularly care for the single player modes in Hearthstone.
Right.
The new, like, Dungeon Run in Kobolds and Monster Hunt in Witchwood introduce the new mechanics and introduce them really well. Like, there's going to be a bunch of cards in there that are broken and overpowered and not available to you in the actual game, but you're also going to see a lot of rush minions, for example.
Yeah.
So, and there's no pressure in there. You're playing against AI.
Yeah.
You go in, you'll know how the new keywords work.
Right.
And the keywords are explained when you hover over the card.
Yeah, so you can hover over them. And sometimes I know that can be a pressure thing when you're playing a game with somebody online. There's a timer going. I think Garrett's right. Hop into some of those modes, mess around in there. Yeah. They're 100% free. They don't cost you anything to do. You don't have to buy any cards or craft any cards to do it. You just play it, and those mechanics are spelled out. I think that's a great idea. But outside of that,
if you just don't feel like it, yeah. don't feel like you have to. You don't have to play Hearthstone or Heroes. Just go back to Overwatch and have fun.
Yeah, we're hopping to Warcraft.
We're going to World of Warcraft.
Warcraft's got tons of catch-up mechanics. That's one of the great things about WoW. We forget that they pioneered catch-up mechanics in MMOs. There's no such thing before them. Like, all the other MMOs I ever played, if you wanted to catch up, you did the old, long, hard way. You ground yourself through a million goblins and killed everything until you were the same level as your friends, and then whatever they had beyond you, you had to earn it. This game has lots of ways to catch up quickly. There's boosts. There's ways to get there quicker so that you're not left in the dust entirely. So, I mean, it's actually, it's funny. We're thinking about, you know, is it hard to do this? Well, Blizzard's made it easier than anyone else has that playing these same kind of game, you know, game arenas or whatever. So,
and well, by comparison, I mean, the vast majority of players enjoy it as a PvE game, and they're not losing anything by helping you catch up. So from a social aspect as well, WoW is a great place to go. Make friends. They will help you catch up. It's not like I go into Heroes of the Storm and I'm going to tank my team league rating because I'm trying to teach you how to play better.
Right. This is all true. Thanks for the email. The email address is theinstance@gmail.com. You can send them in and be like Mike, and we'll answer it right here on the show. Let's leave. Before we do, though, Garrett, anything this week happening that will tantalize the earlobes of our listeners for you?
Yeah, I mean, you can always check out the Angry Chicken for Hearthstone Into the Nexus for Heroes of the Storm. But last week I did something that was very exciting. I got my wife, Katie, to sit down with me and record an episode of my usually solo podcast that's called R2T2. And we, if you want a huge dose of vanilla WoW nostalgia, go and listen to that episode. And because we basically just sat there and talked about why we're excited for WoW Classic and shared some stories from when we first started playing World of Warcraft back in 2005.
Right. That's awesome. Go listen to that. Also, a nice female perspective on your otherwise man wiener show that you do by yourself.
Yeah, it's just a solo wiener show half the time.
Yeah, usually it's just a wiener there. Patrick, anything happening there with you?
I'm shocked by that last
sorry.
So yeah, you know what? Yeah. Just go to your podcast app right now, go to the search field and search for Pixels. That's a show I do about video games in general, not just, you know, if you don't have enough games to play with Blizzard games and you want to know about the industry at large and all of the other games, subscribe to Pixels and you will. It's fun, it's interesting, and it's free like all the other.
I thought the whole point of that show was just to cover, it was like a fan podcast for that Pixels movie with people in it.
Yeah, with Pac-Man. I get that a lot, you know, it's surprising, but I'm hoping that by roughly 2025 that joke will have gotten old and we'll be able to have gotten to get past it.
Well, you only got 6 or 7 years.
Until then, yeah. It's still mostly, it's strange though, mostly the people who talk about this seem to be named Scott, and I interact with most often on Friday evenings, yeah, my time.
Weird.
So I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how that's happening to you either. Yes, Garrett, you were saying something?
I just want to thank you for reminding me that the terrible movie exists, Scott, because I hadn't thought of it in a long time.
One of the worst Adam Sandler movies of all time is Pixels. It's really bad.
I've accidentally walked past television where it was on.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. Nobody watched that. But his show about video games is really good. It's just unfortunate naming convention. All right, that's going to do it.
I named it before the movie.
Yeah, it's not their fault. It's not your fault. It's their fault or something.
No, I sued them. They laughed me out of court.
Yeah, well, that's what he'll do. He's got a lot of money. That's going to do it for the show, everybody. Thank you all for being here. If you want to find the website and all the stuff we do, theinstance.net, more shows like this at frogpants.com. Stick around, live listeners. We'll give you some URL codes. That'll happen in a minute. That'll do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Garrett. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.